I'm talking with Paul Seibert, the author of the new book, I Know How Hard You Work, A Journey Through Stroke Recovery, and a workbook for stroke survivors. Paul, what motivated you to write this book?
Well, I guess the first thing that motivated me was myself. It was cathartic for me. It was cleansing and renewing, and it helped me as I began to recover after I got home from the hospital. Made me feel good to write it, and I guess as time went on, I began to be aware of the readers who would read it, and I wrote it for them. I wrote it for people that were also recovering from strokes themselves, and these readers who I hadn't met yet and didn't know, I felt that it helped them, and it helped me.
What kind of stroke did you have?
I had an ischemic stroke, a stroke that that involved a blood clot of the artery delivering blood to the brain, and it affected the muscles on the left side of my body. It severely weakened my left arm and hand and left leg and foot, and it affected my voice some. And I worked very hard to get my voice back and the left side of my body as well.
How long has your recovery taken so far?
Well, it's been just about 3 years.
Let me ask you a question. What did you find most challenging as you started recovering from your stroke?
Well, the challenging part was to change how I viewed myself and to have greater patience with myself, as I was slower and clumsy with certain new motor skills as I developed my left side of my body, and I had to love myself more and be more patient with myself.
I tell you, I really do like this book, and one reason is that it's very honest, and the chapters are very to the point. And what I find interesting, and I like, because it is a workbook, is that after every chapter there's a daily practices page and a place for you to reflect page. Now, I understand daily practices, that makes a whole lot of sense, but I'm quite taken with the fact that after every chapter you have a page for a place for you to reflect. Tell me why you think that's important.
Well, mostly I did it for the reader. I wanted him to have the same opportunity, he or she, to have the same opportunity to reflect on his feelings and his progress and his view of how he was doing at that point in time. And I suppose that was the main reason.
And when you found the reflection helped you along with your recovery?
Yes, definitely. And I think it was a way for me to take an almost a snapshot of myself as I recovered, and I think it was also important for me to realize that although I felt a certain way, like maybe I felt kind of down and discouraged today, there was always something to be grateful for, and that didn't necessarily mean if I felt a certain way that I wasn't making progress. So, you know, I was making progress each day, even though I felt maybe I was clumsy still, but I was doing things better, and I was making progress with my hand and my leg and my foot and my hand, and, you know, and I kept working at my exercises, and that helped.
You know, I find that this book is probably as helpful to the loved one or caregiver of somebody who is dealing with the effects of a stroke, as well as their loved one with the stroke. How do you
think... I'm glad to hear you say that, Gary.
What's that?
I'm glad to hear you say that.
Yeah, I think the partnership is so incredibly important, and I just wanted to talk a little bit about how you work through that.
Okay. Now, specifically, what are you asking me?
Well, your loved ones, your caregivers, your communication, was it tough dealing with you know, your own recovery and their expectations?
Well, I live alone, and the main loved one, I suppose, would be my daughter, who's in college down in Virginia. I'm up in New York State, and my two sisters are quite a ways away as well. So a lot of it I did, I hate to say this, but a lot of it I did on my own. And so I live alone. I had to encourage myself. I was the voice inside my head that said, you can do it. When the other voice inside my head said, oh, God, I don't think I can do it today, you know. But I had to do it. I was the therapist, in a sense, and I was the patient, if you would, you know.
Well, how did being a stroke survivor expand your own thinking?
Well, I think I learned to love and appreciate physically challenged people in a new way. I saw people, well, say, for instance, in wheelchairs in a new light. Now when I saw them, I saw them as, I know it sounds kind of corny, but I saw them as my people, as my equals, as the group I was working with in a way. And I just was amazed that now they took on a new light in my thinking.
And I see that in your book. I actually see more than just a story of what you went through, a story of helping other people go through it too, and analyze and reflect and walk the path. So I thought that was a very nice thing about the book. What's the main thing the book says to readers who are recovering from stroke?
Well, I guess the main thing, Gary, is that it says don't quit. Don't ever quit, because no matter how you feel today, you could feel more, you could feel differently tomorrow, and you could be doing better than you realize.
Did you ever feel like, oh boy, I can't get through this. I just want to give up.
You know, probably I started to in the beginning, but there wasn't a time that I didn't feel that I personally would recover. I always thought that I would get better. You know, it's possible that I won't get as good as I have always hoped and wanted to. But, you know, even I even want to take that back, too, because I cannot even begin to compare how I am now as to how I was 3 years ago. I am incredibly, you know, a different person. So I got to say, no, it probably wasn't. There was a time I think in the first or second day in the intensive care unit in the hospital when I still couldn't even move my hand or my arm or my leg, and I had an anxiety reaction in the middle of the night. And then I said, well, you can do some things. You can turn on your right side, even though you can't turn on your left yet. So I wasn't a vegetable. So I did what I could do, and then more abilities came.
Well, you, in chapter 23, it kind of struck me. You said, maintain your vision of yourself. What do you mean by that?
Well, that's a good question. The vision of that I had to maintain of myself in my mind was the vision of me being completely well, completely whole, completely well, and visualize me doing the things that I couldn't do yet, like walk by myself and, you know, all of the things. I remember the nurse taped up a washcloth and said, you can use this to squeeze, and it could be an exercise. Well, today I use hand squeezers to exercise my hand to develop my manual dexterity. But back then, I couldn't even conceive of squeezing the washcloth. I know that sounds kind of weird, but that was where I was at the time. I'm not even sure if I answered the question or if I forgot the question.
No, you did, and actually got me thinking of another part of your book when you say not yet and not ever philosophy. What is that?
Well, the not yet, it seems more positive than the not ever. I look at my guitar now, and it's in the corner in its case, and I haven't played it yet, but I know that it's possible, but I will play it. Maybe not as good, but it's not a question of perfection so much as it is the progress. So I can see that not yet is more positive for me as I reflect on things that I'm not doing yet. But at least I'm not saying never, you know.
So hope has a lot to do with your recovery.
Yeah. Yeah, it seemed to me one day I woke up and I said, you know, hope is more important than it used to be. It's the life breath of the human existence for me. And if it's that way for me, I imagine it is for other people as well.
You know, one thing that's really important getting through caregiving with a loved one is a sense of humor. Did you maintain that? How important was that to you when you were recovering?
Yeah, it was incredibly important. I would be cooking my breakfast in the morning or whenever, and sometimes I eat oatmeal in the morning, so I would be fixing oatmeal and I would think, well, you know, sometimes I'd miss the pan or the container I was putting the oatmeal in, and I thought, well, why don't you just put it on the floor and see if you can hit it down there? You know? But the bottom line is, I was sometimes so clumsy, it was either cry, Gary, or laugh. And so it made me feel better to laugh.
And also persistence. This is, you know, you got it done. You got through it. And the way to get through it was that sense of humor. So persistence and sense of humor, they seem to be very important.
Very, very much so. And I kept thinking, I have to be persistent to get through this. And then that's my first lesson, and the second lesson is persistence. It's kind of like when you're buying a house, it's location, location, location. So it's the same with recovery on this stroke recovery. It's persistence, persistence, persistence.
Well, you say, so one of your quotes is do what is hard for you. That seems to walk the same line as persistence. Why do you think that's important?
Well, because I think that it's too easy to get comfortable in a safe environment, and then I'm not reaching out and doing things that are hard. Like one day I said, when I began to drive again, I realized that the light was out in my garage, in my garage door opener. And I backed my car out, and I put my stepladder in there under the garage door opener, and I proceeded to change the two bulbs in the garage door opener, and it was, Gary, it was extremely hard. It was very difficult. I was up on the stepladder, and I was thinking, what in God's name are you doing this for, you know? And I said, well, I think it was because it seemed extremely difficult. And so I'm up there, and my legs are shaking, my hands shaking, but I managed to do it.
And that helps a lot, doesn't it?
Well, it does, because I didn't say, well, doing that light thing in the garage door opener is beyond me. I didn't say that, but I might as well have. When I was up there shaking on the ladder, I said, well, it may not be beyond you, but you don't know if you're going to get it done yet, you know? So, but I did.
And that's another growth step. I mean, basically now, past that point, changing that light, it's something you accomplish. It's not something you didn't think you couldn't do.
Right. I didn't climb a mountain, but I didn't let that garage door thing stop me either.
No, I like that a lot. One of your chapters talk about giving your therapist their due. How would you say the best way to interact with your professional care team when you are recovering from a stroke?
Well, the best way you can. I remember my physical therapist, you know, after I would be doing something he wanted me to do, and I would sit back, he says, okay, now sit back down on the bench. And I would sit back down, and he said, that was terrible. And I said, well, you know, hey, Bill, I said, baby, you know, you have a stroke, and then you sit down and you tell me, and I'll grade you, you know. But the bottom line is, I think you just do the best job you can. And you try to stay open, because everything he's going to ask me to do is stuff, things that I don't want to do, or maybe I'm not very good at yet. So he's going to push my limits, and it was, when I came home, it was really important for me to push my own limits.
In the last chapter, and I really like this way of tying it up, you have 12 things that you've learned. And number 4 is, I've learned to measure success in different ways. What do you mean by that?
Well, before, it was the speed with which I did things and the ground I covered, whether it was in my professional life or personal life. But now, it wasn't so much the speed of getting things done as it was the affection I had for myself as I was doing things, perhaps very imperfectly. So it was more of a progress than perfection thing again. But I had to learn to love myself in a new way. I had to learn to love me. You know, we all say, well, I'm learning to be my own best friend. But, you know, at this point in my life, recovering from the stroke, I had to actually do it. I mean, I could mouth the words before, but now I had, as they used to say in industry, I had skin in the game now. I had to actually do it.
What do you mean by, if I ain't dead yet, if I ain't dead yet, I ain't done yet?
Well, you know, I know that is a terrible thing to say in a book, but it's my Yogi Berra quote, you know? It ain't over till it's over. And if I'm here on this planet, I got stuff to do, and I shouldn't stop having goals like writing books and doing things that I think are beyond me. I should literally take the limits off and do all that I can do for that day, and keep in mind that maybe today I can't, but maybe tomorrow I can. So if I'm on this earth, I still have things to do. I can't say to myself I'm not able because I'm recovering from a stroke. I have to take the limits off and do literally all I can do, and grade myself on a new scale, you know, grade on the curve, so to speak.
So the concept of taking one day at a time really has a new meaning for you.
Very much so. And sometimes it's 1 hour at a time, 5 minutes at a time. You know, it reminds me of when I stopped smoking years ago. You know, it was more than one day at a time. It was like 5 minutes at a time, you know. And I had to, but it was very definitely one day at a time. And I realized, you know, as I wrote the book, I said, you know, this book isn't just about you and for you. It is, but it's for a lot of other people that could very well be in the very same position that you're in.
What three things would you say became most important to you as you recovered?
Well, the one thing that comes to mind, that always came to mind early on in the stroke recovery, was that no matter what I have to do, whether it's using my arm or my leg on the left side of my body, you know, whatever I have to do, God will help me do it. He will meet me more than halfway. The first thing, and the second thing, is that my efforts are incredibly important. I can pray till I'm green in the face, but I have to work, and I have to work hard with my physical therapy. God's not going to do it all, and He's going to help me do all that I have to do, but I have to do it. The other thing is I have to keep an image of the well me in my mind, because my mind, the mind is such a powerful instrument that it will help me bring that well image of me to pass in my life. And those three things, I believe, are at the core of my thinking in most of the writing of that book.
Paul, it's just been terrific to talk to you. I very much enjoyed reading your book, and I thank you so much for your time.
Well, Gary, it's been very enjoyable for me to talk with you as well. And as I saw some of the things on caregiver.com, things that you've said and things that you've done, your soothing voice is just exactly as I thought it would be. And I appreciate the opportunity to talk with you as well.
Thank you, sir. Take care.
Thank you, Gary.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.